puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know.
Oh, the Dulcet Tones of Polenka.
Wow, that goes back a few years. That's beautiful.
Oh, we're talking about this though today here. John and Kendra Smiley.
Dad is just, oh no.
You're having fun with me. Well, my girls are 12 and a half and 10 now, soon to be 11 here in just about a month. And this is a topic that is important for parents of tweens and teens. We're talking about early dating today. John and Kendra Smiley are, Kendra's joining us today, but they both are parenting experts and authors of numerous books on parenting, including Be the Parent. We talk about that one often. And boy, you really have to be the parent when it comes to dating. Kendra, welcome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I know you're probably disappointed. The boss isn't with me. He's actually here in Florida with me. But believe it or not, when he got invited to go to the stadium this morning and watch the walkthrough, he said, well, I guess I should do that.
I suppose somebody's got to do it.
Yes, so he's at the stadium, or will be soon. And I'm actually standing in the parking lot of the Christian preschool where my 4-year-old granddaughter will soon be going in. I feel that gives authenticity to this whole program, don't you?
Oh, yeah, right. Definitely. That's right. Most definitely.
Yeah, having sons, you know, you guys survived raising 3 boys and went through the dating process, but now you've got these girls, so this is going to be a whole other ball game. Talk a little bit about some of this research that you're finding about early dating.
First of all, their definitions. And this was a study that's going to come out next month in the Journal of Adolescence. And they defined early dating, on-time dating, and the people that were late bloomers, and how these ages have been changed from, well, even when our kids contemplated the art of dating, I guess I'd say. Right now, they define early daters as kids who begin dating at approximately 11 and a half years old. Well, Ted, did that shatter your bones there a little bit? Yeah. And then on-time daters, 13 years old, and late bloomers, 15. First of all, that shocked me, but obviously that's what's happening now. You know, late bloomers when I was in high school were the 19-year-olds.
Right.
Right.
They weren't dating till college. And so it's so interesting because, and John and I were discussing this with looking at this research, how our world today, our society anyway, is kind of pushing kids forward as far as dating and things that take some maturity, and then they're pulling them back on things that I think where I would hope they'd already developed maturity, like, no, you're not a grown-up till you're, 105 now?
Yeah, right.
It's later and later all the time.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Well, you know, I ask my girls, are anybody of your friends dating right now in school? And they say, well, they're not really dating, but they're quote-unquote going out, they'll call it, where they don't really do anything. They don't really actually go out, but they're quote-unquote devoted to, you know, one boy or something. So, I mean, that seems innocent enough, but that can quickly change, can't it?
Well, as I said to, we borrow this one teenager, young Michelle, I talk about her quite a bit. And I said, when we get in a relationship, very few times do things go backwards. You know, if your relationship in dating is we're going out and where are you going? Nowhere, because neither one of us is allowed.
Yeah.
But then it's, you know, having this, one-on-one relationship. It goes to the next thing. You hardly ever say, you know, we've been kissing for a while. Let's just don't kiss for a while. You know, the next 2 years, let's just hold hands. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start so young, these kids, they're not prepared emotionally to handle the whole dating scene.
Yeah, so again, it's broken down into early daters. That would be like the average age of a sixth grader. The on-time daters, that would be about 13. They're saying that's on time. And then the late bloomers were those who were starting to date at almost 15.
And that's late.
Yeah.
And that's a late bloomer. I mean, for me, it was 16. That I see when I'm reading through different blogs and so on, I'm still seeing that a lot of parents are saying, nope, 16, that's where we start.
Well, and it's interesting. Our middle son actually, he picked out the girl of his dreams when he was in seventh grade. And they've been married now about 11 years. Now, did they date in seventh grade? No, in fact, they had a junior high dance. Of course, this not of course, but this was a public school. Had a junior high dance, and he said, I'd like to ask Kristen. We said, well, that's fine, but you can't. You're not going to have a date to the junior high dance when you're 13. But when you're in eighth grade, if you have a girl you'd like to ask, you can ask the girl to the dance. Of course, mom drove. I don't know whether they called it a date or not. There is a picture of them in their house in eighth grade. She's about 3 inches taller and has her hair then on top of that poured up on top of her head. So it looks a little kind of like a Simpsons episode. But anyway, they did then at 16, the week he got his driver's license, he said, may I ask Kristen for a date? And it's interesting because there's so many good things you can do as kids learn how to navigate relationships with the other gender. You know, their dates were come to our house, look in the cookbooks, find something good to eat, go to the grocery store, buy the ingredients, bring it back to our house and cook it. And I love that. I said, you guys don't even have to do the dishes if you leave the leftovers. Because that really got me off the hook for at least some element of the next meal.
Yeah, right.
And so what is the dating look, you know, what does the dating look like? I think that's important. I think, you know, church youth group, oh my goodness, that was a wonderful way where guys and gals in a group with supervision and obviously learning biblical principles, you know, when the lesson came around, to learn how to start those and build those relationships.
We're talking with Kendra Smiley this morning, and we're talking about the risks of early dating. And when we come back, Kendra, let's talk about some of the problems that result when kids start dating too early. There's some definite drawbacks to that. So we'll talk with Kendra more in just a moment about the risks of early dating. This is Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK.
Rebecca St. James, it's 7:47 Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK. We're talking to our good friend Kendra Smiley this morning. She and her husband John have written numerous books on parenting, and I want to highlight one of those in just a moment. We're talking today, though, about the risks of early dating and giving some good insight and maybe some startling statistics and information as well.
Kendra, talk a little bit about what happens when kids start dating so early. You know, they're not really prepared for this, are they?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, think about it. I call you and I, and actually my kids are the two of you and John and I and our kids, we're regular grown-ups. These kids are so far from being regular grown-ups, and even regular grown-ups have issues and difficulty understanding the opposite gender. And what happens when an early dater has, you know, questions about this? Where does she get support or he get support? Well, thankfully, that dating group is very small, so they don't have that peer, usually, that they can go to and say, gosh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So that's one thing, but that's perhaps the least of our concerns as a parent when we maybe are contemplating allowing this. Here's what research has found out. These early daters are more likely to do things that we would call antisocial, like lying, cheating, picking fights, truancy, disobedience, and running away. Those seem like a pretty good set of reasons not to, or to frown on that as a parent.
Yeah, well, PK was even mentioning during the break to me that alcohol use as well, that is high for those that decide to go ahead and date early. It's interesting.
Yes.
Well,
all the things you really don't want your child to do right there come along with dating really early.
Well, the book I wanted to highlight that you and John have written is Do Your Kids a Favor, Love Your Spouse. And I'm selecting that one today because modeling what a good, healthy relationship looks like as parents is so important when it comes to this as well. Talk about that.
Oh, it absolutely is. You know, there's so many things. There's so many aspects. John and I are really working on a new project right now, which I will not let the cat out of the bag. But there's just things. You take, for example, Eggridge's whole ministry on love and respect. As your children see you respecting your husband, as husbands, your children see you loving your wife. We were doing a phone-in show just recently in here in Florida. I think it was on Monday. We were in the studio, and someone wrote in and said via email and said, for years I didn't respect my husband, and I have realized that, and I'm sure because of God's revelation to her. And she said, I've apologized to him. I've apologized to our son because our son was starting to be disrespectful to my husband. Is there anything else I can do? And John and I commented to her, responded to her by saying, live it out. live it out. You know, it's not so much what we say. I always say parenting is show and tell, and your show always trumps your tell.
That's for sure. And those kids watch. Boy, they don't miss a thing. Kendra, talk a little bit about, too, if you would, why? Why do we let our kids date so early? And it's mind-boggling to me because I'm just thinking, again, boy, even at 16, you know, it's just like, oh, I hate to even let them out of the house, but why so early?
Yeah, tether them to the front door. That's right, the front door. Well, and John and I really hypothesized about this. You know, why is it? And we realized that we do a lot of empirical research, kind of watching and listening, and a lot of times parents just aren't paying attention. And there's reasons for that. Maybe there's marital stress. I know in my own family growing up, my parents were not fond of each other. They stayed married for quite a while, like until one of them was deceased, but they weren't real fond of each other. And a lot of times I could get by with things that unfortunately I shouldn't have gotten by with because they were so wrapped up in their own conflict. Or maybe the household has a single parent, and maybe that single parent has two jobs or even more. Then who's kind of, you know, minding the ship? Who's taking care of things there? Sometimes parents just aren't paying attention.
And sometimes what's normal for them, maybe they were young when they started dating or something, and they think that that's normal. That could be part of it, perhaps, too. And then with our culture, too, when you're watching TV programs or whatever, it's just, you know, constantly dating younger and younger, even on some of these sitcoms and that sort of thing. That all has an influence, doesn't it?
Definitely.
It does. And it's so interesting. I remember when the boys were little, I remember with our oldest son, he was probably a first or second grader, and people at church would say, "Who's your girlfriend?"
I know.
And they would go, I wanted to say that adults stop it. But, you know, instead he came to me and he said, "Oh, you know, so-and-so said, who's your girlfriend?" I said, the next time they say it, say it's mom.
Yeah,
and like years later, like when he was in school, he goes, "That was really weird, mom." I said, "No, but it worked." Sorry.
Kendra Smiley again joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings. We're talking about the risks of early dating today. So I guess what's a parent to do then? We want to say no dating until maybe a certain age, but it can be really tough when other parents aren't stepping up and being the parent and letting, you know, their kids go ahead and date early. How can we equip our kids to understand that this is our rule?
Well, first of all, don't you just want to say what your mom and dad said to you? If everyone jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff?
Yeah.
I just want to say that sometimes. Mm-hmm. There is peer pressure. And sometimes it's not so much the kids feeling that pressure as it is the parents feeling that pressure. You know, well, the neighbors and the rest of the people in your Bible study, they've all let their children date. You have to make your own family rules. And I think if you've always done that and tried to be fair and definitely being consistent, kids understand that. Mom and dad need to really take an honest look at what problems can happen from doing this, from letting their kids date. Or it might seem cute, kind of like that person at church who said, "Oh, who, you know, do you have a girlfriend?" That might sound and seem cute, but there are so many things that are not cute that can happen from that. The other thing, too, is to remember that a lot of those social skills can be developed in group situations, much healthier, not so much pressure on kids. And again, I go back, John and I were in a high school youth ministry for 21 years, so we had a lot of teenagers in and out of our home through those years. And that sort of thing, a healthy church youth group can really provide great opportunities.
And I think parents have to be wise, too, because not that I know anybody that ever did this, but when your parents said, "No, you can't date until you're 16, then, "Oh, I'm going to the movies with my girlfriends," and then meet somebody there and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, be wise as to...
right.
Kids are smart.
Yeah, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on. It's so funny. We raised our kids in a little church, in a little bitty community. And the first time, our oldest son, he was in seventh grade, and he asked if he could go to the movies without us. And that might sound like, "Whoa, you were sure restrictive parents." No, just nobody was doing that. You know, nobody went to the movies. He wanted to go with Jake, his friend in eighth grade, and we said, "Okay." And my final words to him as he went out the door were, "Now remember to behave yourself. Someone will know your mother." And he got home from the movies that night, and he goes, "Boy, truer words were never spoken. I stood in line and to get our tickets, and behind me there was Lawrence and Loretta, and we sat down. In front of us were Billy Sue and Kent. So there is that, and I realize probably 9/10 of your listeners don't have that sort of a community, but letting them know God's there with you. Uh-huh. See, if we always are practicing the presence of God, the kids know, I'm going to the movies, and God's already seen this one.
Yeah.
And first of all, I better select a good movie, and I better do what I've said I'm going to do. And Mom and Dad, again, you be honest with your children. You cultivate that community in your home of honesty. And hopefully, and again, one more thing. This is not a call to perfection. Mm-hmm. Not at all. If they got to know me better, they'd go, whoa, wow, I am, compared to her, I am a really good parent. I came into it with very few skills. I was wise enough to marry a very wonderful man, and I was teachable. And so that's really what God called us all to be teachable.
Yeah, and to keep that communication open, just the last question for you then, Kendra, this morning. When is it appropriate? What is the appropriate age? We don't want to be too early in having this conversation with our kids, but we don't want to be too late either. What do you think?
Appropriate to have the conversation about dating?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean, kids?
Yeah, right.
I would say when they want to talk about it. When they say, and literally, I thought that was funny when you said, somebody said the kids are going out. Our youngest came home one day, junior high, and said, I'm going out with Meredith. I said, where are you going? He said, nowhere. I said, okay. Yeah, because it didn't mean anything. It wasn't, you know, well, and I'm going to stop in her house.
Yeah,
no,
mm-hmm.
And so you have, I think a lot of times we do rush conversations. Now, parents, if you think you need to because you know behavior that's going on with their peers, then that's a wonderful time to start the conversation. Many times we give too much information too early, and they're not even thinking about it. So you got to be wise. You got to be a student of your child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks, Kendra, for just kind of raising our awareness on some of these ages for dating, too. And it's just a good reminder not to put our kids into those adult situations before they're ready, right?
Yeah, I remember our oldest got invited. He was an eighth grader, got invited to a seventh grade boy-girl party. And so we did a little research, and we said, well, now, are her parents going to be there? Well, it's going to be in the garage. And no, her parents won't be there, but her teenage brother. Well,
oh yeah,
anyway,
right.
That didn't take long to figure that one out. But he's a football coach. He's very analytical. He could have been a lawyer, except he would hate it. He likes to be outdoors. And so he's giving us all the pros and the cons and goes through the whole thing. And finally he gives up because he didn't really have a leg to stand up. The next morning we sat down at breakfast, and only the middle child was up at that point, and he was eating his toasties, and he looked up and he goes, oh, guys, by the way, you don't have to, like, give me that whole lecture about the boy-girl party that's unchaperoned. I already heard it.
Nice.
Awesome.
They're listening around the corner sometimes.
Yeah. So kind of lead with that first kid, and it'll be easy with number 2, 3, 4, and on.
That's right. Man. Well, thank you so much, and check out the blog, too, that John and Kendra put together. It's called The Risks of Early Dating on our website at myfaithradio.com. Blessings to you, Kendra, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.